Thursday morning. We had an inch or so of snow, and it's like, I'll take this. This is nice. I'm not trying to be picky, Lord. I mean, every day is a day you've made, and I'll rejoice and all that stuff, but man, it's easier to rejoice when it's like this, isn't it? This is all right. Yeah, good stuff. Before we launch into the sermon, I do want to follow up on the announcement, the one announcement that we had at our meeting last week. We did affirm to call Bill Ludwig for our next pastor, so that's pretty awesome. And I just wanted to give you kind of the skinny on that. So basically, his first Sunday to preach will be Memorial Day weekend, so the 27th of May is when he'll be here to preach. And then he's got some time in the middle of May where he's got some planned vacation, so even though he won't be at North Georgetown, he really won't be here either, because that's only fair. He had it already planned. You wouldn't want to pull that away from him, right? You know, so he won't be there. But he is so excited to get started and getting to know people better that starting tomorrow, he's actually going to be working several hours a week, just kind of independently, you know, contracted to get to know us. So he's going to start, of course, with faculty and ministry leaders and helpers and things like that. But he is opening up to, if any of you want to get to know him, if you would like to connect with him, he has sent us the information, and it came last night and didn't get a chance to get a slide on it, so I don't think we can put this up there. But if you want to contact him, his email's real easy. It's bludwig, so B-L-U-D-W-I-G, Bill Ludwig, at Five Stones, that's the number five, capital stones, .org. All right, so you can email him. However, he says the best way to get hold of him is to text him. So there's pens in the pew, and if you want to jot this down, his number is 330-416-7504. Let me give that to you again, 330-416-7504. We'll get that in the bulletin, and maybe, I don't know, maybe Kimberly, maybe we can shoot that out in an email this week. If you didn't get it today, we can shoot that out in an email, so in case you want to get a hold of him. But he's just so pumped about getting started. So he's going to be doing that for a few weeks. He'll be on vacation a couple weeks in May, and then he actually starts preaching on the 27th. So that's pretty exciting. So I just wanted to, you know, give you all that down and low and all the good stuff to say about that. All right. Let me take a little sip of my water. It's just dry today. So are you excited? I'm excited. This is like my last series here at Five Stones, and I'm pumped about it because it's just kind of really weird, which is good because that fits me, right? And you all know that. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather in this house and to praise you with words and music and our breath that just comes in and comes out in worship to you. Lord, I pray that that made you smile, that just would just like hearing your kids sing, just like children's choir, Lord. When you hear a children's choir, Lord, you have to smile because they're just so adorable. And I pray that's what you see when you see us, your adorable children, doing our best to praise you, and that puts a smile on your face. Father, as we turn to your word, I pray that what you've given to me and what I can present is faithful to you, and that your spirit would meet here with us and give power to what I say and make it what you say, so that we can all walk out of here with something. Something that you've spoken to us that gives us something that we need for today and for the week ahead. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. On Thursday, my wife and I went out and planted 10 trees in our yard, little saplings that we got. And it was kind of fun. We used these big stakes and these tree shelters that go around them, and they're supposed to really help them grow, and it was kind of fun deciding where we put them. And so we stuck them all on the ground and did that. It was kind of, they're just little tiny saplings. I mean, they're like a foot and a half tall. I mean, just little tiny things. So it's going to be a little while. It could be a while before they can really be enjoyed, but someday the pawpaw, the pawpaws and the persimmon, they're gonna produce fruit, and we're hoping to attract some deer and stuff into our yard. I don't know if we'll be alive to see that, but you know, we can dream, right? So we're hoping, and the maples, the red maple and the sugar maples, their leaves are gonna be beautiful in the fall, and so really excited about all that. But none of that would have happened unless Catherine said what she did. If she hadn't said, "Hey, John, Muskegon Watershed Conservancy District," which is a hard thing to say if you think about it, is giving away free trees, and we can get 10 of them. So, would you want to do that? And I was like, oh, I don't know, more work to do, another project. Okay, sure. So we went through the list and picked the trees that we wanted, sent in our reservation form, you know, what we wanted. And then we found on the date we had to go pick them up. We had to get in our car and go pick them up and get the stakes and the little tree shelters and bring them home. And then last Thursday, we had to go out and plant them, right? We had to get out and dig the holes and pound the stakes and tie on the little tree shelters. And I say that all because sometimes you've just got to move. Right? If we had just sat on our duffs and said, oh, look, they're giving away trees. Well, that's cool. None of that would have happened, right? You know, sometimes you just got to do something. You've got to move. They say that if a fish stops moving, it dies, right? You've heard that, okay? And if a tree stops growing, it starts to die. I mean, to move is to be alive. To be alive is to move, and to be alive is to grow. You know, you've seen me up here. A lot of you have seen me up here over the past several months when I couldn't move, and I you know, had my bad back, and I sat and preached on a stool, and I was just really stiff, and I was limping around like an old man. You know, and I wasn't sure what to do. But every time I went to the doctor or talked, they said, "Be active. Yes, go ahead. Don't worry about the pain. Exercise it." And that's what I've done. And you can see, hey, look at this. Woo, you know, it's great, right? Okay, so you know, moving is a good thing. To move is what keeps us healthy. When we stop moving, we stop growing, we stop living. So I would like to spend the next 5 weeks at Five Stones looking at how we move in a kind of a whimsical, lighthearted, tongue-in-cheek kind of way, but as a metaphor for how we're living our life. I think there's some really neat things, and there's a passage that really sticks in my mind when I think of ways to move. And if you want to go with me, just we're going to start there in Psalm 1. The very first psalm, the very first three verses of the psalm are all about moving in a kind of a metaphorical way. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. For she is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever she does, she prospers. It's interesting, just the idea. Now, there's a whole lot in this, and I've heard some messages on this passage that are phenomenal from Hebrew scholars, and all the cultural things about standing and sitting and walking. But just those simple words, I'm not going to go into all that deep, what that's a fancy word for that, is exegetical, all that exegetical stuff. Exegetical is one of those fancy words that means you dig in and deep and you get out of the text exactly what it means. But we're just gonna take these words that are mentioned, this idea of walking, standing, and sitting, and notice that it's really important how, where, and with whom we move. That makes all the difference between growth and stagnation, between life and death. So we're going to have some fun. So we're going to be looking at sitting and standing and walking and running and flying. Okay, we're going to look at flying as one of the motions that we're going to be looking at in this series. And the reason is because what? What does it describe here? So that we can be trees, like trees that are planted by living water, that it's growing and fruitful and bearing leaves. That's what we want to be. So that's what we're going to do. And it's always good to start with the easiest thing, right? What's the easiest motion you can think of? Sitting, right? So you're all doing it right now. So let's practice sitting today. So today's all about sitting. And for this, I want to go to try to give you a new spin on a familiar story. So we are going to go to Luke 10. So if you want to look up there, that's fine. It's probably a little small print. I would prefer it if you have your own Bible to look at that, or one in the pew in front of you, on your phone, whatever you like to look at for Scripture. Let's just look at this passage. This is the famous passage about Mary and Martha, okay? Now, as they were traveling along, it's Jesus and his disciples, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all the preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha," I just got to pause. Am I the only person that thinks of the Brady Bunch when I hear that? I mean, I know it's Marcia, but still, Martha. Anyway, okay. I don't think he said it that way. I doubt it. Maybe he did. I don't know. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And there's different ways that Bibles translate that. Yours might say that, you know, she has chosen the most important part, or the best part. Now, if you're like me, and you've heard this passage taught on before, typically it comes across as what? Mary good, Martha bad, right? Right? I mean, maybe not quite so strong as that, but basically, they always exalt Mary as the one who's, you know, boy, she's got it right, Martha's doing all the bad stuff. Well, you cannot avoid looking at Mary as the example of the one who's doing the best thing here, because that's what Jesus said. So unless you're going to do violence to the text, you have to accept that Mary does come out on top between the sibling rivalry between Mary and Martha. But it is very important to remember that Mary and Martha were sisters. So let's look at this a little more gently and not just look for who's good and who's bad. Let's take a look at what it really says. And what it really says is that one is more important. It's not one's good and one's bad, just one is more important. So if we think about Martha as the example of someone who does work and does serving, that's not a bad thing. Right? As a matter of fact, if our faith is genuine, if we've really trusted in Christ, then we will serve, right? Because if faith doesn't have works that come out of it, it's not real faith. So Martha's not the bad guy here. She's all right. But it's just that the most important thing is to sit at Jesus' feet first. Now, why is that? I want to just point out something here. In the ancient Near East culture, okay, and even in the Near East culture to this day, hospitality is an incredibly exalted virtue. It's as important to be hospitable and to welcome people and make them feel welcome in your home as it is to be honest, or as it is to deal with integrity in your business. For someone who is not hospitable, does not welcome someone, they are looked down upon. All right, that is rude. That is unacceptable behavior. So it's very important what we're seeing here. So if you read this carefully, if you go back and read that first verse, is it still up there? Not too bad. It's okay. It says that Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. So Martha opened up the doors and said, "We are letting in Jesus." She was the one who welcomed them into their home. However, it was Mary who welcomed Jesus into her heart. Martha opened up her home. Mary opened up her heart. Mary sat and listened. She cared about what he had to say, and she was devoted to his words. That is a way to make somebody feel welcome. Mary welcomed Jesus in the most deep, genuine way that anybody can. She sat with him and listened to what was doing, what he was saying. And that's what's most important. Now, we're going to go back to that and really look at what could that mean for us, but let me just say something, too. I have a scenario that we don't know about, all right, because this is my thinking. If we're all sitting around listening to Jesus at his feet, when do we eat? I'm sorry. I like to eat. And I think, come on, Luke, who wrote this story down. I mean, let's get real. Even Jesus and probably Mary at some point in that evening is going to get hungry, right? And they're going to want some dinner. So they're going to have to get up and eat, and it's not going to be ready. So Martha, she was just anticipating needs and doing the right thing, right? Or maybe, what about this? What if, and we don't know that this didn't happen, so maybe this is the way the story ends. Jesus says, "Oh, Martha, Martha, you're distracted by so many things, but only one is really necessary. And Mary has chosen that part, and it's not going to be taken away from her." What if when he said that, Martha was like, "Okay, all right." And she sat down with Mary and listened to Jesus. And she was enthralled by his words, which, when you read the story of Lazarus, their brother, you see the faith of Martha, which actually seems to be superior to the faith of Mary. It's cool. But what if she sat down, and then, as the afternoon wore on, and the time was getting where Jesus and Mary and Martha and the rest of the disciples were hungry, Jesus turned to both Mary and Martha and said, okay, ladies, let's go, the three of us. We're going to go make dinner together. And you say, well, not in that culture. Men wouldn't have cooked. Oh, really? Who did Jesus send ahead of him to prepare the Passover dinner? Two of his disciples. I don't believe that sexism was as fully entrenched then as it is today. There were always guys who could help out, all right, and do work that was, you know, they were almost as capable as women, maybe. I don't know. Women seem to be more capable in a lot of things, but I won't, don't want to say any more, get in trouble on that one. But in any case, all right, so I could just see Jesus and Mary and Martha going off and making dinner for everybody. You know, and you know, there's a time to do the most important, and then he's with you to do the other things. It's not a good and a bad. It's just what comes first, what's most important. So that's just kind of my turn on it. So in any case, we can see in Mary, and maybe Martha, maybe she turned and did that, but Mary demonstrates not a lack of serving, but just an abundance of hospitality to Jesus. She's the one who really demonstrated what it means to welcome someone. So let's take a look at that now. Sitting with Jesus. Jesus himself says that that's the most important part. So assuming that the incarnated creator of the universe is not going to knock on your door and invite himself to dinner, okay, that would be awesome, and then we could open up our house and invite him in, and we could be hospitable, right? We could welcome him into our life. So assuming he's not going to do that, what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us to sit at the feet of Jesus? Now, if this were a typical sermon, and it was one that I've heard many times, what would I tell you? Well, sitting with Jesus is spending time with Jesus in the Word and prayer, right? So we're going to read Scripture and we're going to pray. That's a great thing to do, okay? That's good. And that, and with the presence of the Holy Spirit, for everyone who's put their faith in Jesus and this Holy Spirit has been born into them and they are alive in Christ and walking with him, that is a powerful thing. And yes, absolutely, we should spend time with the Lord, we should read the Word, and we should spend time in prayer and listening. Good. But I'd like to take it just instead of focusing on just doing something, which is not the same as sitting, I want to say, what does it mean to really sit with Jesus? Instead of focusing on just the listening, what if we focus on the welcoming? Welcoming someone into our house is a lot more than just opening a door, right? I mean, have you ever gone to someone's house and you can just tell they're really not into you being there? I mean, I've confessed to you, you know, I'm a task-oriented person, okay? It's against my nature to think in terms of relationship first. That's really weird for a pastor. Most pastors are just the opposite, so I'm weird to be a pastor, it's true. That's probably why I'm mostly in teaching. But you know, there are times when people come and I just, it's hard for me to stop what I'm doing and make them feel welcome. I can welcome them, but to really welcome them. Yesterday morning, we were doing a project outside, and we only had a limited time because we had someplace we had to be in the early afternoon, and I was trying to get these things done, and these stupid neighbors kept coming by to talk to me about my project. And it was like four different neighbors and their kids stopped by, and they were so friendly. And I knew I was preaching this sermon, so I thought, okay, Lord, okay, all right. So I kind of, it's all right, you know, we'll just set this aside. We talked and we chatted and it was great, actually. And the two little kids, our neighbors, they were adorable and they were just helping us with the sticks. And I mean, it was so much fun. I thought, oh, I guess welcoming people can be kind of fun. It's not just a distraction from the work. I was really, you know, because I'm normally that Martha, right? So just to go, oh, okay, yeah, you can really, really welcome somebody into your home and really make them feel welcome. Cell phones are one of those things that makes it hard, isn't it? I mean, when my adult children come home, we try to do pretty well, but every once in a while, I mean, it's like every afternoon, there's got to be at least a little bit of time where everybody's sitting around the living room and everybody's checking their phones. It's like, you know, it's just not connecting, you know? I almost want to put a basket. I've heard this guy who puts a basket by his front door, and it's a no-phone zone. You come to his house, you drop your phone, and while you're there, you don't use it. So I thought that'd be interesting. But making people welcome in your home is a lot more than just saying, come on in. You've really got to be aware of what it is that's going to make them feel valuable. So that's when we go back. You know, Martha welcomed Jesus into her home, but Mary welcomed him into her life. She sat down with him. She sat down with him. She sat with him and said, "You are important enough for me to take my time, take my energy, take my thoughts, take my resources, and I give them to you because I welcome you into my life." And I think that's what this sitting at the feet of Jesus really represents. That's the important part. So we want to make room for Jesus in our lives. We want to sit down with him. We want to devote ourselves to welcome his presence in our time and our energy and our thoughts and in our resources. And we can do this as individuals, right? We don't have to be here to do that. We want to do that throughout the week. We want to do that in our day-to-day lives. We got to set aside those distractions, the things that Martha was so distraught with, things that we so easily get caught up in, and letting Jesus know that he is the most important person for us to spend time with. We have to welcome him. But we can also do this as a church family. Okay? We don't need to do this just individually. Not getting distracted. We got a lot going on here, right? This big transition and everything. So we don't want to get distracted by the new pastor or what's going to happen in the future. We can just devote ourselves to sitting down and letting Jesus know that he's got our full attention. As a church, let's make sure that we let Jesus know, man, our eyes are fixed on you, Jesus. We are sitting here, we're all ears. You are more valuable than anything else going on in our church. So we want to make sure that we give you that. So to become that living, life-giving tree, fruit-bearing, life-giving tree, we want to sit ourselves down right next to the source of life, that living water, and let Jesus know that he is the center of our attention. So we need to sit with Jesus. If this were an infomercial, I would say, but wait, there's more. Because there's a connection here that I want to make sure that we don't miss. Everything I've just said is enough to walk out of here. We can chew on that, we can act on that, we can say, yes, Lord Jesus. But, you know, yes, sitting with you, Jesus, is the most important part. I get that. But Jesus said something that we can't forget, right? If we're going to sit and listen to Jesus, then it's probably good if we remember what he says, right? Remember he told a story about doing things for others? And the people said, when did we do that? He told a story of not doing things for others. And they said, when didn't we do that? And Jesus said, whenever you've done this to the least of these, you've done it for me. So as much as I want us to spiritually sit with Jesus and focus our attention on him, I don't want us to forget that if we do that, he himself has said, what you do for others, you do for me. So what if we applied this idea of sitting with Jesus to sitting with the least of these? What would that look like? Follow me on this, right? Okay, Martha welcomed Jesus into her home, and then Mary welcomed her into her heart, into her life. So what if we did that to people that might be the least of these? What if we not only welcome them into our home, into our life, into our circle, but we really focus on them and say, by our actions and the way we treat them, you are important. You are a valuable part of this world. As individuals, I think we could do that by giving our full attention to the people that we interact with on a daily basis. Our pizza delivery man, the cashier at checkout, the guy who comes to repair our air conditioner or our furnace, right? I mean, what if we just really, instead of just brushing them off and just, you know, assuming, oh, they're just the delivery, what if we look at them as every person we see is go, oh my gosh, it's a human being. Did you know that? The person who checks out my groceries is a human being created in the image of God, a person that Jesus died for, and I have the opportunity of spending 30 seconds to maybe 2 minutes talking with that person and listening to them and seeing how their day's going. Are you getting close to the end of your shift? You know, I'm not a people person, people. Not naturally, but I've been trying to practice this more for the last couple years, and it's delightful. I have found that there are a lot more nice people out there than I ever thought there were. I thought most people were like me. They just went about their business doing their stuff. But you know, when I started treating the least of these as the most important thing, I found out that, wow, they really are the most important thing. Kind of an odd thought. Now, we certainly could do that to the strangers we meet, but what about our, certainly our friends and our family? Well, those are a given, although some of us probably still need to work on our friends and family. But I'm really thinking more about the people that are not already in our normal circle. Okay, I'm thinking people we haven't met, you know, we haven't known for years. Maybe the people we've met in the last 6 months, or the people we haven't met yet at all. And if we do that, then that really opens up a whole world of how we can sit with others in the way that Mary sat with Jesus. As a church, okay, now we can do that as individuals, but as a church, boy, we can really practice that, can't we? As a family, what if we begin to choose that more important part by sitting, not only sitting down with Jesus, but sitting down with those who maybe are the least of these? What would that look like? Now, I think, I have this weird idea that the Holy Spirit is alive and he does things. It's just weird. I mean, I stopped trying to argue people into God because I realized that God was alive and he can move in their life and do a lot more work than I can. Now, I can try to have discussions to remove the obstacles to faith, but I stopped trying to do God's job for him because I believe in God. I believe in a living God. And so, because I believe that, I believe that the Holy Spirit can direct us. And I think, call me crazy, I think that if we sit down for very long at all with Jesus and really focus our attention on what he's trying to tell us, that pretty soon he's going to say, yeah, go talk to that person. Go see what they have to say. I mean, we might be sitting in the lunchroom and we hear Jesus say, that person, why don't you go sit and eat lunch with that person? But what if they don't like me? Well, you'll never know until you find out, right? And I'm preaching to myself here. I mean, that's awkward, right? And I know we're a church of a lot of introverts, so the idea of going and having a conversation with a stranger is like, no, don't do that to me, please. I'm not doing that to you, okay? I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying, you sit down with Jesus, and I'm betting he's going to tell you to go to the least of these because that's so important to him, right? Those people are so important to him. So I don't think we're going to sit long with him without him telling us to go sit with somebody else. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool to have a church that is just known for welcoming people? Because when we talk to them, it doesn't have to be an hour-long conversation, right? When we talk to them, anytime we interact with somebody, we let them know by our body language, by the look on our face, by the eye contact, by the tone of voice, I'm listening to you. I value what you're saying. You are important to me. And if we really want to get religious, we can say you're important to me because I sit with Jesus and he knows you. I know how important you are to him. There was a study done in San Francisco that interviewed teenage prostitutes. And one of the interview questions was there anything that you needed that you just couldn't get? And almost invariably, all the interviewees answered with deep sadness and often with tears, I just needed someone to listen to me. I needed someone to care about me enough to hear what I was saying. I mean, isn't that something we all need? We need to know that we have a voice, that somebody cares about us enough to listen to us. Isn't that really what we're doing with Jesus? I care about you enough, Jesus, to listen to what you have to say. And he says, yes, that's wonderful. Thank you, Mary. Now, let's all go out and serve. Let's go out and listen to others. Let's go out and sit with others who also need to know that what they're saying is important. So if we want to be living, growing children of God, that means we need to be in motion. We've got to be in motion. We can't stand still. We can't stay where we are. We've got to move. And one of the first movements that we're going to learn to do is to sit with Jesus. And to sit with those that Jesus would have us sit with, because that's who he would want to sit with if he were here. Which, by the way, Jesus is here. That's what his spirit means. If you have the spirit of Jesus in you, then Jesus is here. You are his ambassador. Not my words, right? That's what the Bible calls us. So we are here to do what Jesus would do if he were here, because he's inside of us. So we want to sit with these people after we sit with Jesus, or maybe even as we're sitting with Jesus, we will walk with Jesus and go sit down with Jesus with somebody else. I would love to see Five Stones become a church that is known for its welcome atmosphere. And that's not easy. It's not easy to do. The best church, the best Christian people have so much going on in their lives. We get so Martha-ized, don't we? We got so much to distract us, so many things to think about, so many things to do, and it's hard to say, I need to make more room. There's people I don't know. I need to get to know them. I need to let them know they're valuable. But that's our challenge, all right? That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be moving forward to be a church that is a church planted by living waters, bearing fruit in its season, and the leaves not withering. We're going to grow because we're going to stay in motion. And the first motion that we're going to do is sitting. So practice. Let's practice sitting this week. Sitting with Jesus and sitting with the least of these. Very simple. Life and growth begin with sitting. Let's pray. Father, seems so simple. It's like there's got to be more to it than just sitting down. And yes, there is, Lord, because sitting down involves setting aside the things that we need to release ourselves from so that we can focus on the person we're sitting with. Lord, the first person that we want to sit with is you. Teach us to do that. Lord, it's hard. It's hard to sit with you and not be distracted, not have our minds filled with so many other things. But give us patience to try to keep doing that even when it's difficult. And then, Lord, give us eyes for those that you would have us to go sit with, Lord, to go show that they are important, that what they say is worth hearing, and that we want to hear it. Teach us, Lord, to sit with you and with others so that we can extend to them the love that you extend to us.